Do you ever wonder why people attend church? I saw on a church sign, "So you attend church occasionally." Have any of you seen this? It may be because the pastor preaches occasionally. I thought that was rather interesting. Years of age have taught me that in a congregation are needs represented in many different ways. And years of experience have also taught me that God always wins and that God's way is always the right way. But we're also in a battle. We're in an awesome fight. A couple of small things happened to me this week that I want to share with you. I have a trailer hitch on my truck that sticks out about so far. Some of you could almost tell this story. My tailgate is up, and I walked around my truck, and I hit that trailer hitch with my shin, the bottom part of my leg, and it knocked the hide off. Yes, Gail. Moving on with my story. My first thought was, I hate the devil. Just a few minutes later, I went around to the passenger side. I wanted to get something out, and the door was locked. So simple. And this is a manual lock. It doesn't have what many of you have as a remote. So I had to walk around, crawl over, you know, it serves as a resource center, so I crawled over some things and unlocked the door, and I thought again, I hate the devil. Now, it is true. I don't like him. I don't want to be friends with him. I don't want to be on Facebook with him. I don't want to talk to him. But sometimes things happen to us, not necessarily because of him, but just foolish things that we do. But we are in a real struggle and conflict with a demonic power. And as we think about this coming year, 2016, I think in all honesty, we need to talk about it. But we don't need to spend most of our time there, but we certainly need to be aware of what his plans are. And then I think we need to spend more time thinking about the solution which is found in Jesus Christ. Called an old friend of mine this week, and as we finished our conversation, he said, old buddy, he said, I'll make a deal with you. Okay. He said, I will pray for you if you will pray for me. I said, that's a good deal. I will pray for you. And he said, I know that you need the practice. It was funny, but it brought up something to me very realistic in the life of a Christian. If we don't practice what's right, we don't develop the habits for what's right. And if we practice bad habits, such as blaming Satan for things that we really could change, that turns into a habit that eventually is not very good nor healthy. The scripture read here today in 1 Peter chapter 5 says that we should be very careful. Beginning with verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've got on my notes today 23 different titles given for Satan. And I want to go through this list and make some comment. And then I want to end our message on a very positive note. But we are foolish to believe that everything is going to be okay in our lives in 2016. Would anyone say amen? I enjoyed the message of that song that Bruce and Beth presented to us. God will make a way. But in the way is no guarantee that we don't hurt or we don't suffer. Listen to these titles or names that are given to Satan in Scripture. In Revelation 12:10, it says that he is the accuser of the brethren. Now, the brethren would be people of faith. One of the most influential tools of our age has been the internet. You can instantly research a person's name, their profile. You can instantly check out a church, a denomination, beliefs. But along with that comes different views and opinions. And you have to separate in your mind what's truth. And that's what really it is dangerous about it. You don't always really know what to believe from what you read. And our adversary, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. We as Christians have been accused of believing in a God that really is not a God of love. And somewhere along the way, in eternity future, God's going to give explanation for this. And I like what Tim said in prayer meeting the other night, and I'm still processing this. In the days of the Old Testament, they had the idea that if God did not prevent something, then it was in God's favor. We may have a little bit of a carryover of that today. Well, if God doesn't want it to happen, God can stop it. That's true. But I'm not sure that's the MO. That's not really the way that God works. Some things happen because of natural design and intervention. And other things happen, like unlocking a truck door or hitting your shin on a trailer hitch simply because of our own foolish choosing. But what to expect in 2016 will be an acceleration of Satan being an accuser of the brethren. When you move it into leadership, it opens up many different types of dynamics, because today leadership is under the spotlight and under the microscope as never before, even in our own church. And one thing I have been so appreciative of as my tenure here as a pastor is the grace and the acceptability that we have toward one another. Somewhere, as the founding fathers of our, well, I know the story of the Chatsworth Church. It has built into the DNA here. We don't just immediately jump on someone. We try to work it out, talk it out, and then forget it. Would somebody say amen? But now in 2016, what are we going to expect? I'm expecting and predicting the devil is not going to shut up. He's not going to forget about us. He's going to be the accuser of each one of us. But I'm thankful we have an advocate. Let Satan tell all the truthful stories he wants to about how bad we are. How many rules we have broken. But we have a high priest, a judge, an attorney, a lawyer, a king, a creator, an official savior. That's his picture right there, if it's anywhere close to it. And he stands in great contrast to Satan as the accuser of the brethren. You know, he was also known in Ezekiel 28 as the anointed cherub. You want to be a cherub, Gerald? Sounds just a little sissy to me. But that's our idea. The cherub is one designation of the angelic being. They are extremely powerful and commanding. And as Satan was the anointed cherub, well, I understand that at one time he was right, his position and his work was right at the throne of God itself. If anyone should have known the love and the character of God, it should have been him. But he began to think that he could be like the Most High. He wanted to be like the Most High, not in character, but in power. And he fell. Went so far as to drag a third of the angels with him out of the kingdom of God. And the end result has been coming to the earth and pain and sin and suffering here. And Jesus Christ dying, it's a remarkable story. But in the end, we know what's going to happen to Satan. We have watched his demise in Scripture go from this anointed cherub down to the prophecies in Malachi, in which it says that he will be burned into ashes and never shalt thou be anymore. In 2016, is there a chance that some of us will fall? Is it a probability? It's certainly a possibility. But by the grace of God, if we really engage with each other, if one person falls, the biblical way is to pick that person up and restore them. Some of you right here have had a privilege of working in that area. So how do we keep from falling? What is the plan for 2016? This time next year, some in our group may be missing. We've talked about this before. We have a pretty good record here at our church of people missing or not missing because of apostasy. That means someone stops believing or just chooses not to fellowship with us, generally because of, if it's apostasy, generally because of doctrinal issues, but most of our records show that people stop attending not because of that form of apostasy, but because they are either not involved, not engaged, or accused of something, or feelings are hurt. And I would expect that in 2016, we need to be on guard, what do you say? And we need to try to work to prevent that. Will you help me? The scripture calls Satan Beelzebub. You know, I've never seen a Beelzebub. Have you? It's not something you buy at Tractor Supply. I read the commentary. It's still happening today as exorcists try to cast out demons from people. It's a very real part of faith. In the days of Christ, there were many different ways to do this, but one way was to name off many different evil gods in a sort of a musical incantation. And the scripture here really is making reference to that, most likely. When Jesus cast out demons, he didn't do that. He understood enough about it, he could just say, he could actually have conversation with the demons. And the demons obeyed Christ, and they did what he asked them to do. Hey, how many times would you guess that the word devil is used in the New Testament? 10 times? 20? Boy, you're quiet. 35 times. Interesting. Guess how many times he's called Satan in the Old Testament? This is not rocket science here. How many times in the New Testament? How many times in the Old Testament if we use the same number? 35, yes. So you, at least you've learned this much today out of the sermon. Satan is by name 35 times in the New Testament. 35 times in the Old Testament. Did I say that right? He's called devil in the New Testament 35 times. Satan in the Old Testament 35 times. He's called the deceiver of the whole world. He's called the dragon. He's called the enemy. He is called the father of lies, the liar and the murderer. He's called Lucifer, the old serpent, prince of devils, prince of the power of the air, prince of this world. 1 Peter 5:8 here, we read where he's like a roaring lion. That would make a very explosive sermon just by itself, wouldn't it? I saw this guy on YouTube that was petting lions, and he had his arms wrapped all around their manes, and their heads were half as large as his body was. And he could open up their mouths. And I'm thinking, this doesn't look real good right here because lions are not vegetarians. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Many of us forget that before a lion roars at its prey, it stalks the prey very quietly, silently. And then I understand as the attack is about to be made, that's when the mighty roar of fear is sounded. That's the way Satan works. He stalks us. He follows us. He studies us. He's known as the ruler of darkness. He's known as the tempter. He's known as the wicked one. He will steal your joy. He will rob you of your faith. And three people this morning here were talking about getting older. Sherry, Coco, and Don. I think as we get older, something naturally happens. I think we become just a little bit more psychotic. And a little bit more paranoid. Certainly less trusting. It just happens. Week before last, someone very close to me said that I was too melancholy. So I started trying to laugh every day. I want to be a fun person to be around, you know. 2016 is going to bring some unique challenges. I think of Matthew 24 and how often we've studied that wonderful chapter. It goes along with Luke chapter 21. But in verse 33, one translation says, and when you see these things come to pass, then lift up your heads and rejoice, because your redemption draweth nigh. Let's look at some real positive text. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to close here. I'd like to read a couple of texts right here. 2 Corinthians 11. Well, as you get older, you also get Bible texts mixed up. This is not the one I was thinking of. But this is it. 2 Corinthians 11. Verses 14 and 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, The biblical story is that Satan loses and Jesus wins. The way through this is to keep our faith focused upon Christ and genuine faith. You know, genuine faith allows us to accept things even when we don't understand why. And the book of James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's either a truth or an untruth. I believe it's the truth. But as we resist the devil through communion with God, doing what's right, fellowship with his people, study of His Word, filling our minds with that which is positive, we are really developing good habits that will produce good fruit and that will really help us have an armor that will protect us from the attacks of Satan. We have a wonderful hope that God's people win, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And in 2016, I think we can expect, if at last, we can expect to be 1 year closer to the coming of Christ